Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 136 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here. And Zoe Turner rushing to a radio studio somewhere near her house. Well, actually, it's a spare room. She should be joining us on Skype a little later on. She's had a very busy day, the poor lamb. So she can't be with us immediately. But coming up on the show today, we have Alistair Artingstall. He'll be along with some of his music. Going to enjoy that. Very musical, in fact, as well, because we have LJ, who's written a song for the Stroke Association to make some money for them. We'll be hearing Seize the Day and chatting with her a little later on. We'll also be talking about how people are getting on with their new Year's resolutions, when we talk relaxation and making sure you're in the right frame of mind with Phil Cook from the Alpha Male studio. But first of all, tonight I'm joined by Dave Caulfield from wolverhampton-fitness.co.uk to talk to us a little about personal training. Hello, sir, how are you?
How are you doing, Jason? Good, thank you.
Good stuff. Good to talk to you. And judging by your Facebook profile, you've got an interesting array of work that you do. Tell us a bit about yourself to start off with.
I'm a personal trainer based at Patsall Park Leisure Club. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of classes, a lot of personal training there, and I specialise in high-intensity fat burning, which is basically getting the most out of every session. Every session, functional, full body, and you're basically trying to burn as many calories as you can while you're in the gym. And that's basically how I work. I work a lot with kettlebells, medicine balls, boxer size. And it's basically about making exercise as fun, interesting and varied as you possibly can.
So that can really be a problem. It can be very dull, very boring, mundane, and it can really knock your spirit trying to do something about your body shape.
But absolutely.
Because it doesn't happen overnight, does it, however hard you work?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. That's the biggest obstacle, is the boredom. And that is where I really try and up the game and make it as varied as possible. The methods we do use do get comparatively quicker. It's still a slow process and you still have to be patient, but comparatively it's quite good and quite quick results. Kettlebells, for instance, work in such a way that they're both cardio and resistance, so they work the muscles and create lean tissue, but they also burn calories and burn fat as well. And it's a bit of a snowball effect. Then the more lean tissue you create, the more calories are needed for that lean tissue to exist. Therefore you end up burning calories in your sleep, so your metabolism's raised. And that's what we're trying to achieve.
That's not bad going. The concept of burning calories in your sleep, I like. Normally consuming them at every possible moment is the way I tend to work it, unfortunately. So you must have had quite a few people down with their New Year's resolution to be to get into shape. And we're thinking a bit about that on today's show as we approach the end of January. So have you had any that have managed to really start to make a difference in the new year?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been a busy time. There's quite a few have really stuck with it so far. So good. I run some group classes as well at Patsall. We get one of the big function rooms and we set up the circuits, and again we do a big mixture of stuff. I call it Kettlebox. It's my own sort of style, really, again with a mixture of the circuits. Body weight exercises, of course, are always very good. Press-ups and burpees and that sort of things. Boxing and the resistance as well. And yeah, I've had quite a few turn up for that, especially after New Year. And so far everyone's sticking with it and They're looking good, yeah. A lot of people have lost a lot of weight, you know, talking a few stones in some cases. So, yeah, it's good.
What's the sort of sensible rate to lose over the period of, say, the first month of the year?
Well, really, I would say to maintain it, it's about keeping, you know, keeping the exercise going and keeping the diet going. And when I say diet, I don't believe in a diet that you follow and then sort of come off. That's no good. You need to eat healthy forever. So what I tend to do is give people some guidelines for life, if you like, which essentially is cut out processed foods. That's essentially the bottom line. If you cut out processed foods, it's very difficult then to overeat and get a positive calorie balance. Therefore, you're very unlikely to put on body fat if you eat non-processed foods.
Okay, depress everybody. List some of their favourite processed foods they should be avoiding.
Well, burgers, chips, anything from any pie, pastry, cakes, chocolate, all the obvious stuff, sausages, anything that's been, that in its current form, has had to be made that way by people. So ideally, you want to be eating things that straight out the ground or straight off an animal or as natural as you possibly can, including butter and things like that. People think margarine's more healthy, but, you know, go for the as natural butter, proper butter. It's much, much better than margarine.
Well, margarines are basically coloured chemicals that hold the bread together, aren't they?
Horrible, horrible stuff. Yeah, it really is.
Okay, so tips then to maybe get somebody into the right mindset to come and join a personal trainer and maybe get along to a gym. If they haven't done it yet, what would you suggest?
Well, the best thing to do is come along. That's the hardest step, is that first step. Just coming to the gym, having a look around, getting to know the personal trainers, and then book a trial session just for half an hour where we go through all the basics. And you get to know the person then, and you know, 9 times out of 10, everyone really enjoys that first session, and they just go from there. And of course, it's challenging to the individual. What's challenging to you is obviously different to what's challenging to me, and it's tailored for the individual, and you work from there. Because a lot of people say, I need to get a bit fitter before I see a personal trainer, but of course, that's the whole point, is that, you know, it doesn't matter how fit you are, it's tailored to you. It's always challenging, don't get me wrong, but as I say, what's challenging to one person is very different to what's challenging to another person.
And you're not there to judge, are you?
No, not at all, no. No, everybody's got all their own, you know, people have got all kinds of issues. People have got children and they can't make it, and, you know, and it's difficult to eat certain food, and people are in a rush and got work commitments. So there's all sorts of reasons why people can put on weight, and no, not at all. We're just there to get you sort of in the right frame of mind, eating the right stuff and doing the right exercise, most time-effective exercise.
And maybe talk through about how, just with a bit of simple planning, always having, you know, some sliced chicken in the fridge or the freezer.
Fruit's a great snack as well. You know, the key thing is just to eat little and often also helps. So, yeah, snacking is good as long as it's the right snacks, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, fruit or a little bit of chicken or a little bowl of whole grain cereal, then, you know, that's a good thing.
And sometimes actually just starving yourself can cause the body to try and keep the fat rather
than
burn it.
Yeah, it will.
Anyway.
Your metabolism will slow down then and try and hold on to any fat stores. So, no, it's little and often is the way to go.
And now joining us by the magic of Skype, Zoe Turner has finally arrived. Young lady, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good stuff. Now, Dave is here. Now, Dave is the one I was talking to you about in the week, whereby we're going to try and get you along to do some personal training with him.
So I've been told.
Right, what questions have you got for him about his personal training work then?
Well, the bit that interests me really is the naked butler.
Ah, so nothing to do with his personal training work. Okay. Right. You two chat about that one. Dave, explain.
Yeah, I do. I run a naked, well, semi-naked butler service. So we do hen parties, birthday parties, where we wear a little apron, collar and cuffs, serve the drinks, host the games. And, yeah, we do that every week. I was featured quite recently on Celebrity Come Dine With Me as well, as Dave the Slave.
Oh, I saw quite, yes, I saw that. Very good.
Which was good fun. It was my 15 minutes of fame, that was.
So, but this is all part of you looking after yourself as well, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to do this sort of stuff, would
well,
you?
Well, yeah, of course, it's a big part. For that job, we do, me and the lads who work with me, we do need to keep in the best shape. It's a bit of a tightrope to stay quite muscling, quite big, but also lean. That is difficult, and that's what we're always trying to do.
Because I suppose you're trying to fuel your body.
Is that type of service very expensive?
But we charge £60 an hour.
Plus travel costs for that. Really?
So that's not too bad.
Zoe's now thinking of this for every evening meal, aren't you?
I'm thinking about a dinner party, perhaps, so that I might have to invent.
Well, that's it. Just give me a call.
and talking of which, well, obviously we'll get you along to Patsall to do a few bits and pieces with Zoe, and what we'll do is we'll film that and get it online. But you can be found online, because you have actually got various training videos to give people a bit of a taster that you can
You can put Dave Caulfield into YouTube, and you get there's about 10 different workouts on there with all different bits of kit. There's some that don't need any exercise equipment at all that are really effective. There's some with a step, some with a kettlebell, some with a medicine ball, some with a heavy bag. So there's all kinds on there. And,
I thought you were going to say there's some that don't involve any exercise at all. I was going to say that would be the ideal one for me.
Yeah, that would be popular, but unfortunately, yeah.
You do not get to look like Dave and go around being a naked butler, or at least semi-naked, without actually doing a lot of work. That's the thing.
True.
Okay, so online as well, you have your own website?
I do, yeah. It's wolverhampton-fitness.co.uk. There's all sorts of bits and bobs on there, information about nutrition and how to contact me.
Well, Dave, thank you for joining us, and thank you for agreeing to do some work with Zoe.
No problem. Look forward to that.
Zoe, do you want him to wear his apron during the training session?
Oh, that would be good, yes.
That's a whole new market then.
That's it, a combination with a fitness instructor and a naked butler.
Well, the scary part is we will video whatever happens, and we will pop that online, and hopefully we can get it sorted this week, depending on your busy schedule, Miss Turner.
I shall try.
Okay, we'll see what we can do. But Dave, once again, thank you for joining us. And
no problem, thank you.
We'll look forward to Zoe at least seeing a lot more of you in the very near future.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks,
bye.
Thanks, bye.
So let's take our first track from our featured artist today. This is So Like Me. It's one of the studio tunes we have from Alistair Ardinstall, and he joins us on the phone after this.
Here I am, back for more. Even though I know there's trouble in store, that is so like me. Every time from the start, I relinquish far too much of my heart, that is so like me. Why should this be so hard? I'm routinely tortured, tangled and scarred. That is so like me. Foolish once, stupid twice, disregarding all of my own good advice. That is so like me. So like me. Wait till the grains of complication start to form a pearl, and justify the irritation. Let's the love more than lust always end up broken, going for bust. That is so like me. Glimpse of silver lining, even though it's clear. You decided to stop shining, I don't mind, it's okay. Ever hopeful things will be swinging my way. That is so like me. That is so like me. That is so like me.
This is So Like Me, Alistair Ardinstall.
There we go. That was our first tune from Alistair Ardinstall, which is close. And he joins you now on the phone to tell you off for mispronouncing his name.
I would never do that. I would never.
That was fairly close for me, to be fair.
If you think the mispronunciations are a problem, you should see some of the spelling I get on the mail.
Oh, I can imagine. That wouldn't be good. Right, so we spoke to you last in May 2010, I think.
That sounds about right. Doesn't time fly?
It does. And how are things coming along? Because I think last time we spoke to you, we were sneakily talking about your longing to record your next album in the US. Has this come together as yet?
No, it still hasn't come together, partly due to my own propensity to procrastination, partly due to lack of funds, but and then I got incredibly busy. It's always the way, you know, you either have the time or the money.
But never both at the same time.
But never both at the same time. So, I was going to try and get to Nashville at the beginning of this year. Well, I know we're at the beginning of this year, but unfortunately that hasn't worked out, and I'm going to be really tied up with touring for for about 8 months of this year. So I think it will now have to be January or February of 2013.
Planning ahead.
Yeah. Well, the best laid plans.
So what have you got as far as music goes? Because you've actually done a couple of tracks for us specifically, live versions for us today.
I have.
And we'll be hearing one of those next. But the track we just heard, This Is So Like Me, is that a studio recording that I've probably got on disc somewhere at home?
No, it isn't. That's actually a sort of pre-production version of one of the songs which will hopefully make the next album whenever it is I get round to doing it. Mm-hmm. So that it's just sort of a working sketchbook, but obviously more thorough than just, you know, an acoustic guitar and a vocal. But it tends to be when I've written a song, I like to sort of put it down, play around with it, see where it's going, and then go out and, you know, play it a bunch of times live, and then change my mind about everything.
But I mean, you are quite creative, though, aren't you? So you must have been churning out songs left, right, and centre since we last spoke.
Well, I've certainly written an album full, although I wouldn't say I've been exactly prolific. It's been one of those periods of time where I've sort of been gathering songs and then sort of thought to myself, well, I better stop writing now, otherwise I'll just end up having to make three albums, and that's even, even more time-consuming and even more expensive. So I've sort of backed off, but as I was saying earlier, I have been stupidly busy this year running around the country and the planet, doing the day job looking after other artists. So.
I bet it can be quite frustrating, can't it, when you've got all these ideas in your head and you think, like you say, you're thinking, well, I better stop and just concentrate on the ones that I've got. Because I would imagine from an artist's point of view, that's what you enjoy about it, is making something new and fresh. And I suppose if you're constantly tweaking the ones that you've already done, I don't know, do you get fed up of dealing with them, if you see what I mean?
I think the main frustration from my point of view is feeling like I haven't, you know, completed the circle by, you know, getting the things recorded and, you know, in solid form that I can just hand to people and go, this is what I think it should be, either enjoy it or don't. It's just that sense of they're sort of hanging around waiting to be done. I suppose the upside of that is that it tends to, as I was saying, it tends to stop me sitting down and trying to write too much more, simply because I have this feeling that I'm just going to be overwhelmed by the amount of stuff that needs doing. But yes, of course it has its frustrations.
Yeah, I imagine as well. I've heard artists say it before that they never ever end up with a song that they're fully happy with, because you'll constantly listen to it and think, oh, I'll do this way, I'll do this that way. And so is it the same for you? Do you have to leave it alone when somebody says, oh, you know, that's a really good tune now?
I'm a terrible tweaker. I really am. And my temptation to throw the kitchen sink in when I'm recording it has to be reined in constantly. But, you know, that's why you get other people involved in a project, because they'll slap your wrist and go, enough. We don't need another 24 vocal parts on there, really. that's, you know, one of my reasons for wanting to go away, specifically to Nashville and record it, because I just want to be surrounded by people who'll go, enough, stop, let us do our job, let us have our input. I suppose it's like any other creative endeavour. If the fundamental song is good, then there are endless ways of doing it. We all have, you know, our favourite songs that have been covered probably by a dozen people, and they're all different and they're all equally great. Well, hopefully all equally great.
So give us the latest set of details on where we can find you and when you can be heard.
That's a good question. I really don't have very many gigs in the book. The next thing is I'm off to Canada in the middle of February to play Winter Folk Festival, which is something I go and do every two or three years when they invite me over. It's a great weekend of music in Toronto. And after that... there's very little in the diary, because I actually start touring in April with the very gorgeous Rufus Wainwright, and will probably be away for 8 months doing that. So I don't think I'm going to get much time to play an awful lot of shows this year, sadly. But I'm optimistic 2013 might prove more gigs friendly.
You never know. Well, if people want to get their hands on the music that's already on CD, even and then maybe hear a hint of some of the stuff which is going to be available later on, possibly, what's your website?
The website is alistairartingstall.com, or you can search me out on Facebook, or just stick my name in Google. There aren't very many Alistair Artingstalls about. It'll come up with a list of stuff and a list of places where I am. And, you can buy stuff off my website. There's some tunes online, a few videos, you know, all the usual things.
Well, give us the full spelling on your name, just to be on the safe side.
Okay, it's A-L-A-S-T-A-I-R, and then A-R-T-I-N-G-S-T-A-L-L, and .com, or, as I said, type that into Facebook.
And you can be found that way. So whatever you do, don't put whatever Zoe said when we introduced you.
you leave out the K's. Yeah, no K's.
As I say, I did write it down to try and jog my memory, and that is nothing like the spelling I've written down here.
Alistair, thank you once again for joining us. Now, we're going to hear one of the tracks you've specifically sat down and done as an acoustic session, almost as if you were here in our little cupboard with us. And Have a Little Heart is the first one that we're going to take. So give us a quick background to this one before we hear the tune.
This is actually a song that's been hanging around for a while, even before I did the last album, which is about 3 years ago now. And I've just never managed to quite find its right place. But it's something that I play live a lot and seems to get a good response. I just haven't found the right album to put it on yet. So it's a favourite of mine and seems to be a favourite of audiences when I bother to play it.
And for the techies amongst us, what was the setup you used to record this?
Good question. I use an AKG 414 and a 57, both of those on the guitar. I then actually was a bit sneaky and overdubbed a whole load of vocals because me tinkering again. So there are a few harmony parts on there. That was also done with a 414, all recorded onto an Alesis HD24 hard disk recorder and mixed through a Behringer digital desk.
There we go. That's a full spec of what you're about to hear. As long as you're a star. Thank you for joining us and thank you for sharing your music with us once more.
My pleasure.
Cheers. Drop down.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye.
Only shades of blue and grey make up the palette of the day when you are just a brush away and I've a frame to fill. And I would not have let you in if I'd have thought it would begin to make the colours pale and thin. So back to still life still. And have a little heart when holding on to mine. Be careful what you cut from there. There's only so much I can spare. So have a little heart. So I wonder if I should resign and be released. 'Cause I'm not one to plough the land or scatter seed with random hand. But maybe I don't understand the nature of the beast. So have a little heart when holding on to mine. Only so much I can spare, so have a little heart, have a little heart, have a little heart. And why should there be so much pain in balancing the loss and gain, the longing to belong again? So bitter and so sweet. And in a sprint of vanity, art, nature and humanity, is trinity to sanity, lie broken at my feet.
So have a little heart when holding on to mine. Be careful what you cut from there. There's only so much I can spare. So have a little heart when holding on to mine. Be careful what you cut from there. There's only so much I can. So have a little heart. Have a little heart. Have a little heart. Have a little heart.
So a live studio track by Alistair Artingstall and Have a Little Heart. And there, Zoe, we were chatting then during the song, and you asked me whether I was drinking pop.
Yes, because it did sound a bit like you were slurping at one point.
There's a funny noise. It's coming from you on Skype because you didn't make it into the studio today.
I don't think it is.
It's definitely
you just say, you're just having a sneaky drink in between questions, aren't you, Jackson?
I can turn my microphone off. And you're still there slurping. Right, OK, let's go back to the phone lines once more. And we are once again talking music as we're joined now on the line by LJ, who's got a brand new single released called Seize the Day, and it's available online. And you can also, yeah, watch it on YouTube and things. LJ, tell us more.
Hi there. Well, I've written a song after my dad had a stroke in October last year. It's called Seize the Day, and the proceeds from the downloads are going to the Stroke Association. So it's all about sort of the lessons I've learnt really after my dad had a stroke and the sort of the thoughts that I had really. So it's hopefully a nice thing to do for a good cause.
Now that must have been completely life-changing, obviously, for both you and your dad and the rest of the family who are gone into support mode, really. How have you managed to cope? Was it through being able to contact people like the Stroke Association to give you some sort of guidance to start to understand what everybody's going through?
Well, the Stroke Association, the main way that they've supported us is through provision of information. Because what they do is they research the causes of stroke, they look at the treatment of stroke, and they also look at rehabilitation. And then all that knowledge that they've got, they can put into sort of fact sheets, and they've got a load of information on their website for people who've been affected by stroke and obviously their families as well, to give them more information. Because that's the most scary thing when it happens is not having a clue what it is, what it means. You're never able to know with any amount of certainty what the future holds with stroke, because everyone's so different. But it does at least give you some reassurance of, you know, that people can get better. And because that's, you can't imagine they can when it first happens. So my dad lost all his movement in the left side of his body. So you kind of can't imagine that it could ever get better, but it can. The body's amazing how it can recover.
And the brain rewires things and slowly starts to get back to some sort of order. But it doesn't just do it on its own. You've got to work with it and make it happen, haven't you? And that's one of the important things.
Absolutely, because a stroke is actually brain damage. So apparently the brain has to sort of reconnect around the damage in order to regain the functionality that it lost. So in some cases it will and people will get better. In some cases it won't. So it is really a very serious health problem that people have.
Now in the UK, the largest part of 500,000 people suffer the long-term effect of stroke. And in Wolverhampton alone, there's around 4,500 who'd have to struggle day to day, or at least have some sort of lasting effect from having had a stroke. And it doesn't just affect old people, does it? Because your dad was only in his 50s when it happened to him.
Yeah, that's right. He was 54, and it came as a complete shock to us. Because my dad actually doesn't have any of the risk factors that cause a stroke, like cholesterol and high blood pressure. With my dad, it was a complete freak accident from a sort of sudden movement with his neck, which sort of splintered an artery, led to a blood, and then the blood got released to the brain, which was had a really, really tiny proportion likeness of it happening. So there's you don't really realise that there's a number of different reasons that people can get strokes. Another one is when people have heart problems, that can actually cause a stroke as well. So, yeah, it can literally happen at any age, to any person, at any time.
I suppose part of it is as well, for the people that are looking after somebody who's had a stroke, is the best way to be able to help them and to help them with their frustrations that they're going to be feeling and their emotional side of things as well as their physical side. Did it give you a lot of support in that sense as well?
The Stroke Association, yeah, they do provide support for stroke.
You're going to have all these facts and figures on how to, like, you know, get them physically well again, but obviously there's an emotional side of it as well, isn't there?
Definitely. I think the biggest thing is just the change. I mean, particularly for my dad, who was so active before, suddenly not being able to move. I mean, he said it was like having a Frankenstein arm where he couldn't feel it at all. I think the biggest thing is for everyone involved is getting to grips with what's happened and understanding it, dealing with it emotionally, because it is a very difficult thing and it takes time, really. I think that's the only thing that can help.
Well, as we said, one of your reactions to the situation was to write a song, to raise money for the Stroke Association, but also to express your feelings. So let's take a listen now to LJ with Seize the Day.
I seize the day, I'll make it my way, I won't be swayed, my destiny awaits, I won't delay, to find a brighter day, won't be afraid. 'Cause all my hopes and dreams won't go away. When I seize the day fight till it's gone. What doesn't kill us makes us strong. Live for the moment, I can't be wrong. Can't be wrong. I seize the day.
So there we go, LJ and Seize the Day. It's been good for your dad as well, hearing what you've done in his honour too.
Yeah, I was really, really pleased about it. I actually didn't tell him that I was doing the song at all until it was done. And then I surprised him on Christmas Day and played it to him. So it was really nice seeing his reaction on Christmas Day. He was obviously really, really just that I'd done it, and I said he's proud of what I've done and what I've achieved. So yeah, it's been really nice. Hopefully trying to turn something negative into something positive.
And how's his movement getting on? Because you had a bit of an interesting day out for him on Saturday just gone.
Yeah, that's right. He had his first Wolves match after the stroke. He's now managing to walk with a walking frame, so he's made fantastic progress in a short period of time, because it can take anything up to 12 months for stroke sufferers to regain functionality they'd lost, or even more in some cases. So he's done really, really well, and yeah, he managed to get himself to his feet at the Molyneux and cheered the Wolves on. It was just a shame that the result didn't come through.
No, but that's unfortunately nothing we could do about it. Well, we were able to play the track for you on Saturday as well. And what was it like listening to it in probably the biggest sound system in Wolverhampton?
Oh, it was brilliant. It was a really surreal feeling, hearing my song played out to thousands of people, definitely.
Where can you get hold of it then if you do wish to buy the track and support the Stroke Association and, you know, cheer your dad up a bit along the way?
Yeah. You can download the song from iTunes by searching for LJ Seize the Day. You can also listen to the song on YouTube, again by typing in LJ Seize the Day, and there's a video to go along with it as well if you fancy a look at that. And if you do happen to see making a donation to the cause, to the Stroke Association, on top of the download, you can actually do that by visiting justgiving.com/LJ Music.
LJ Music on Just Giving. And, of course, Seize the Day is actually spelt S-E-I-Z-E to tie in with the situation your dad found himself in as well. LJ, thank you for joining us. Good to hear the music. Best wishes to your dad and, of course, to all the family. And I hope he's back to 100% very, very soon.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. Try for now.
Thank
you.
Bye.
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 Let's take our third song then from Alistair Artingstall. This one, another of the songs specially recorded for us. Well, specially recorded for you. You Don't Love Me Anymore.
Cheap seat cabin class fare was all I could afford to get me there. Should have been a warning of some kind to the wealth of the indifference I'd find. All the crazy things I could have done, this must count as number one. More than 16 hours to your door. You don't love me anymore. How was I meant to know my connection to you'd gone some time ago? Jet stream that you felt is just a breeze, brought me from 30,000 feet down to my knees. All the crazy things I could have done, this must count as number one. More than 16 hours to your door. You don't love me anymore. Thank you.
crazy things I could have done. This must count number one. More than 16 hours to your door. You don't love me anymore. All the crazy things I could have done. This must count as number one. More than 16 hours to your door. You don't love me anymore. You don't love me anymore. You don't love me anymore.
You don't love me anymore. That's a track by Alistair Artingstall. One more on the way in a moment or two's time. But before then, we go to the phones. As we've been talking health and stuff today, we're talking a bit of relaxation now. As Phil Cook joins us from the Alpha Male Studio in... I'll try to say Alpha Male Studio properly. 3, 2, 1. From the Alpha Male Studio in Stoke-on-Trent. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
Now, we've been talking earlier on about getting into shape for the new year when we're talking personal training with Dave. But relaxation's an important one as well, isn't it? Because you've got to make sure you're in the right frame of mind for all that you do. And you can often stress yourself out over New Year's resolutions going wrong.
You can indeed, yes, yes. It's difficult to believe, isn't it, really, that it's only barely a month ago that the Christmas and New Year's resolutions were all that we were talking about. And it is so difficult to keep going a lot of the time with the stress of the occasion, like you say. Yeah. I always think it's the wrong... the New Year is the wrong time to make a resolution. And actually, we don't ever need a New Year to make a resolution about looking after our health and our well-being, do we? You know, you can do it any time.
So they do reckon that, I think, is it the third Monday in January, the people that have made New Year's resolutions have already, a certain percentage of them have already given them up?
50% in round figures, 50% give up in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
90% of the remainder give up in the following 2 weeks. So
yeah, not a very good statistic,
yeah,
really.
It's the wrong time. But we're taken down this road of making a New Year's resolution, and we don't seem to think that, yeah, I can do this any time. Actually, it's the wrong time to be doing things. How difficult is it to give up chocolate or drinking when you've got, you know, 3 tins of chocolate biscuits and a box of shortbreads and 2 pounds of licorice all sorts that you've been given at Christmas, and then you make a resolution to give it up. And that can be deflating as well. When you don't carry on with your resolution, you can sort of just give up too easily. It's the easy option, I think. But to keep going, if you can get your mind and body relaxed, you can make decisions far more easily, which is where my relaxation therapies come in, I think. You know, if you procrastinate over decisions, oh, shall I do this, shall I do that, when you've made that decision, you continue to dwell on it. Did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? But if you make a quick decision, yeah, I'm going to do this, it doesn't bother you after the event. So getting the tension out of your body, when your body feels good, your mind just follows.
So what sort of things would you say you could do for helping somebody relax?
By far the most popular is massage, whether it's deep massage or light massage. The most popular one that I do is the hot rocks massage that the ancient Romans used to do. And, you know, you just drift away into the clouds. I sometimes think we don't realise how much tension we hold in our bodies as well. It creeps up so slowly that we become accustomed to it, and then sometimes, you know, you can think to yourself, why am I holding my shoulders like this? And then relax, and then a few minutes later you're hunching up again, whether it's from driving or sitting at a computer, being on the phone all day, or just the stress of you know, modern life, if you like.
Do you find, like, different people have different areas that help them to be massaged. Like, for example, on me, I mean, head massage is just absolutely lovely for me. I could drift away in that, but perhaps I wouldn't enjoy, I don't know, my feet being done so much.
Yeah, there are key areas, yeah, the shoulders, the head, the feet, the lower back, and even the butt. You know, we hold so much tension in our glutes. It sinks down into that position when we sit all day. If you've got a sitting down job, whether that's a taxi driver or an office desk, the tension sits. You know, the glutes are such big muscles that they can hold more tension. They're bigger, so they hold more.
No, mine is definitely bigger, and I do have an office job as well.
Don't give him fuel.
See, my one's got a lot of tension.
He doesn't need it.
If you're looking at a programme on something like this, obviously you're based in the Stoke area, people are around and about and they want to come and see you. What sort of services can you offer, and how do the prices normally work out on this sort of stuff?
Most of the things I do are around about the £30 mark. You'd get a generous hour of massage. I don't watch the clock. That's not conducive to relaxation. It's stopping on the minute, you know. So an hour and a quarter or so for £30, and then I just charge a fiver for each half hour after that, whether it's relaxation for massage for relaxation, or from Indian head massage, from reflexology, everything that empowers the body to help itself. You know, it's all in the program of things that I do.
So, do you have like all the gentle music playing as well while you're massaging? Because I find that helps as well.
Candlelight. You know, even candlelight has a certain ambience, even if you close your eyes.
Mm.
You know, the subliminal brain knows that the candlelight is still there. So, yeah, we burn candles, we burn incense, soft music, low lights. It all adds to the therapy, yeah. Mm. It really is a brilliant chill-out zone. So many people will come to me with a clinical problem or a sports injury, work-related tension, and it's the experience that words cannot describe, really. It very much is an experience that you have to find out for yourself. And so many will say, wow, you know, that was far better than I thought you were going to hurt me. You know, but I don't do chiropractory and the things that sort of you do have to feel worse before you feel better.
Mm.
It really is good. So, you know, simple, really. We overlook the simple solution to a problem so often that, you know, when the body feels good, the mind follows. And when the mind feels good, it's so much easier to make decisions, which takes us back to the New Year's resolution in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, you know, if you have the correct frame of mind about it before you begin, and realise it isn't a race, you know, just set yourself plenty of time. If you do give up on it, you perhaps just stepped out on the wrong foot, so give it another go. There's nothing wrong with taking a second stab at something.
Well, if you do want to find out more, you can contact Phil on 07932 683 232 or 01782 855 763. Alpha Male Studio is what you're looking for if you're Googling him. And where can you be found in real life?
The address is 65A Piccadilly in Hanley, which is the city centre in Stoke-on-Trent.
And if you're going to give us one tip for the best way to relax whilst we think about coming along to have a treatment or whatever, what would it be?
It's got to be a good massage, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Keep me going.
That's the way to do. Phil, once again, thank you for joining us. Lovely to speak to you. And hopefully your resolutions are going to plan in 2012.
Mine is still going, but I'm not going to share them with you. Okay, yeah. Lovely to speak to you two, too.
Thank you.
Thanks, okay. Ed. Ciao for now.
Thanks.
Bye.
So, on to our final tune from our special guest artist today. Zoe, what's his name?
Oh, I wouldn't like to say.
Alistair
is probably going to be the closest.
Alistair Artingstall. This is the second of the studio tunes we're going to take from him. Now that the love's gone.
I wasted too much time, lost in what might have been. I but I forgave myself by wiping the old slate clean. I broke the
gone, and it's time for us to go as well for another week. Zoe, are you going to try and make it in real life next week?
I shall try, yes.
Because hopefully, we had a chat with Dave when the record was playing, and we're going to try and get along immediately after the record next week to take you along to Patsall to see if we can get you a bit of personal training.
Exercise, yeah.
Well, last time we took you out on the road, you went kickboxing.
Yes, I
and
did.
This is, yeah, it's going to be a little energetic, but...
Well, it'll be milder than that, won't it? I won't be fighting some sort of kickboxing champion.
You won't be fighting a young man, which is what happened to you last time.
It was very nice, though, some of the grappling.
Yes, we still have the video of that online. If you search for the Milk Bar in YouTube, you can find that. Search for Milk Bar Zoe Turner kickboxing. That should work. You had a fair few views of your expertise there. And we hope to bring you this production, at least in part, in 3D as well.
That'd be exciting.
Could be Zoe Turner in 3D. And what outfit would you plan to wear for this one?
Oh, I've got some new joggers. I'll wear them.
Okay, you're going to dress up. You're not wearing the climber cool like last time.
I might do with my new joggers.
She's only got one set of clothes. It's a terrible shame, but there we go. Zoe, thanks again for joining us. And so we will see you in real life next week when we'll be back for episode 137. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Yeah.